This is Monday morning, March 3rd, 1975, in Richmond, Virginia. The ministry is given through Brother Stephen Kong.
Last night we began on the book of Numbers, so this morning we'll like to continue on. Will you please turn to Numbers chapter 2.
Numbers chapter 2.
The first and the second verses. And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, The children of Israel shall encamp everyone by his standard, with the ensign of their father's house, round about the tent of meeting, afar off, opposite to it shall they encamp. We will not read the ways that they camped. Chapter 4. The first three verses. And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, Take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, according to their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, all that enter into the service, to do the work in the tent of meeting. And the same happened to the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari. Chapter 7. The first nine verses. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had completed the setting up of the tabernacle, and had anointed it and hallowed it, and all the furniture thereof, and the altar and all the utensils, and had anointed them and hallowed them, that the princes of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, the princes of the tribes, they that were over them that had been numbered, offered. And they brought that offering before Jehovah, 6 covered wagons, and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 princes, and an ox for each. And they presented them before the tabernacle. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Take it of them, and they shall be for the performance of the service of the tent of meeting, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to each according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them to the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon, according to their service, and 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, for the service of the sanctuary was upon them. They bore what they carried upon the shoulder. That's all we'll read this morning. We mentioned last night that the book of Numbers tells us of the way of God. Genesis tells us God's purpose. Exodus tells us God's work. Leviticus tells us God's call. God's calling. And Numbers tells us God's way. In other words, in the book of Leviticus, we see the way by which God led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And as we found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, during those 40 years, the way that God led them was to humble them, to prove them, and to show forth what was in their heart, whether they really meant business with God in obeying Him or not. And there God proved them, gave them manna to eat, to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. God took care of them through those 40 years, God chastening them as the Father chasteneth a son. The way of God. And that is what we find in the book of Numbers. But we mentioned last night also that the reason or the principle that lies behind God's way with His people is in the testimony. So the word testimony is used 8 times in the book of Numbers. I hope you'll look up these 8 places. The tent of meeting, the tabernacle, is called the tabernacle of the testimony. The ark is called the ark of the testimony. And of course we know the Ten Commandments, the law, is also called the testimony. In other words, here you'll find God had revealed Himself to the children of Israel. God had given His law to them. God has shown them who He was and what He was. God had covenanted with this people. And this people had seen God. They had heard God. They had a testimony of God in their midst. They were the corporate vessel of God's testimony. God had committed Himself to this people. And in turn, this people had committed themselves to God. And because the testimony of God was in their midst, therefore, God had to be very careful with this people. God had to chasten them. God had to deal with them. God cannot just let them go free. Whenever they acted contrary to the testimony of God, that is, to what God was, God had to chasten them, to clear His own name with His people, so that the world may not misunderstand Him. So we find that the way of God is actually connected with the testimony. To refer this to us today. The testimony of Jesus is today committed to a people. And that people is the church of the living God. Christ Jesus has committed Himself to a corporate vessel. And that vessel is the church. The church is the deposit of the testimony of Jesus. And because of that, you find as the church goes through the wilderness, that is passing through the world, God has a way with His church. God has to deal with His people according to the testimony of Jesus that is in their midst. And I believe that explains why is it that God deals with us in a way that seems to be strange sometimes. Why is it that when we are newly saved, we can get by with everything? But as we begin to grow in the Lord, begin to know something of His testimony, we begin to take up some spiritual responsibility for Him, and you'll find His way with us begin to grow strange. he begins to be little severe, little hard, and sometimes we feel it is a little harsh. Now why? The reason is the testimony of Jesus is with us. He has to clear his name. He has to do it. And at the same time, he is bringing us up to that testimony, that we may be true to the testimony that we hold. And this happens to us not only individually, but, of course, corporately. So we find that the testimony of Jesus actually is never committed to one individual. It is committed to the church of God. And last night we mentioned, before they undertook that journey, from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, God prepared them for that journey. That journey was very important, because that journey, in a sense, was to ready them for entering into the Promised Land. So God had to prepare that people for that journey. And in the preparation of it, we find the first thing, God numbered his people. And last night we mentioned very briefly that numbering in the scripture has several meanings. Number one, it means that if you are numbered, that you belong to him and he takes care of you. Number two, to be numbered means that the people, after they are numbered, they become one people. The unity, the oneness of the people of God. And number three, this numbering is not a general numbering. This numbering is the numbering of those who enter into military service. That is to say, after they are numbered, they become the army of the Lord. And the purpose or the task of that army is to guard the testimony of God. Now this morning, we would like to go on a little bit more. And that you'll find in chapter 2 and so on. After they were numbered, then God ordered them in their camping as well as in their marching. Before that, they camped wherever they desire to. But from that day onward, they were to camp after a certain order. And that order was according to the tent of the testimony. In other words, the tent of the testimony was to be the center of their camping, as well as of their marching. When they encamped, then the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, will be in the center. And the 12 tribes of the children of Israel will encamp around the tent of the tabernacle, each according to their ensigns and according to their standards. The east, the south, the west, and the north. And three tribes on each side. And three tribes under one standard. There were four standards and 12 ensigns. And these 12 tribes will encamp according to their ensigns and according to their standards. There was no confusion. Everything was ordered according to the tent of the testimony. And this ordering was not something that people could choose for themselves. This ordering was appointed by God. in relation to the tent of the testimony. Now, of course, it is very interesting to note that when they camp, you find on the east side there is the standard of Judah. And of course, Judah means praise. And then the standard of the camp on the south side is the standard of Reuben. And Reuben means behold a son. That is faith. And then on the west side, you'll find it is under the standard of Ephraim, and Ephraim means double fruitfulness. It's grace. And then on the north side, it is the standard of Dan, and Dan means judge. In other words, it is spiritual exercise. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Because it is profitable not only for this age, but even for the age to come. So you find that all these tribes, they were encamped according to God's appointment in their particular place in relation to the tent of the testimony. Then when they started to march, you find they march with a certain order too. And that order again was according to the tent of the testimony. Now, brothers and sisters, the spiritual principle behind this physical arrangement is very essential. As the living church of the living God, we are not only numbered so that we are no longer just individuals. We are related one to another, members of one another. Now, before you are numbered, you are individual. But after you are numbered, you become one of the numbers. And you are related, for instance, number two is related to number one and number three. You are not just one individual anymore. You are members one of another. And dear brothers and sisters, how we thank God that we are all numbered. We are members one of another. We are related to one another. And as we mentioned last night, it is unfortunate sometimes we forget our number. And we forget that we are numbered. That's unfortunate. But so far as God is concerned, we have been numbered. Therefore, we are no longer individuals. We are, and yet we are not. We do not lose our individuality. There is a number there, but we are not independent. We are interdependent of one another. Now, that brings in the unity, the oneness of the body of Christ. Now, that is important. But there is something more. We are not only numbered, but we are ordered. To be numbered is to bring us into that oneness, that unity of God's people. But to be ordered is to place us each in our rightful place. Just like in a body, you'll find all these members are numbered. They are related one to another, but they are related with an order. There is the hand, there is the arm, and there is the shoulder, there is the trunk, and there is the legs, and the feet, and the toes, and so forth. So you find they are not only related, but they are rightly related one to another. There is a divine order in the church. And this divine order is according to the tent of the testimony. In other words, how are we to be properly ordered? It is according to the head. Therefore, you'll find the scripture said, hold fast the head. If we hold fast the head, then all the members of the body will be fitly framed and rightly joined to one another. The center is the tent of the testimony. The center is Christ. Christ is the head. And as we all look to the head, we will each fall into our rightful place in the body of Christ. There is nothing for self choosing. It is all divinely appointed. Now, if according to Christ, you are appointed to be the feet, the foot, thank God for that. If in His divine appointment you are appointed to be the hand, thank God for that. There is nothing for self-seeking. There is nothing for self-glory. It is all by divine appointment, and this divine appointment is according to Christ. It is for the sake of Christ that we are so ordered. Again, it is not an human arrangement. It is a divine appointment. It is an organic ordering. It is not by human arrangement. So everything spiritual is according to Christ and is by divine appointment. And dear brothers and sisters, this is the way that we encamp. This is the way that we march. We come together as one people, rightly related, and we march through this world together as one people with Christ as the center, as our head. So it is important to notice this as we go through this world. If we hold fast the head, you do not need to worry. Where should you encamp? You will naturally, supernaturally, naturally fall into your rightful place. Not only in relation to Christ, but in relation to your brothers and sisters. And this is divine order. But there is another thing. The children of Israel were numbered to enter into military service. But when they were numbered, the Levites were exempted. Why the Levites did not enter into military service? God had another appointment for them. So after the children of Israel were numbered, you'll find God commanded Moses and Aaron and the 12 princes to number the Levites. And in numbering the Levites, you'll find there were two numberings. The Levites were numbered twice. Once from 1 month old and upward. And this was because they were to stand for all the firstborns of the children of Israel. And we mentioned that last night already, so I will not go into it again. But then after that you find there was a second numbering of the Levites. And the Levites were numbered from 30 years old and upward to 50 years old. And those that were numbered from 30 to 50, they entered into Levitical service. Now, brothers and sisters, we know in the book of Leviticus, you find there in the book of Leviticus, we are shown especially of the priestly service. The family of Aaron, they were chosen as priests. And there you'll find in the book of Leviticus their functions, their works, and their requirements, and their privileges, and all these things you'll find are fully described in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus speaks especially of priestly ministry, of priestly function. But the book of Numbers tells us of the Levitical service or the Levitical ministry. You know, there is a difference between priestly ministry and Levitical ministry. Of course, you cannot completely separate these two ministries. Why? Because the Levites, the tribe of Levi, was given to the family of Aaron to help in their ministry. And the Levitical service was under the direction of the priestly service. So you cannot separate them completely. And yet you find there is a distinction, a difference between priestly ministry and Levitical ministry, priestly function and Levitical function, priestly service and Levitical service. In the book of Leviticus, you find priestly service. But in the book of Numbers, you find Levitical service. It sounds strange, isn't it? Now, what is priestly ministry? Priestly ministry is mainly a ministry unto the Lord. Even though they do come out to bless the people. And yet, mainly they minister unto the Lord. When they offer these sacrifices, they offer them unto the Lord. For the people, yes, but unto the Lord. When they burn incense, they burn incense unto the Lord. When they exhibit the showbread, they exhibit them unto the Lord. When they light the candlestick, they light the candlestick unto the Lord. So in other words, you find the priestly function is predominantly unto the Lord. It is what we will call a spiritual ministry, unto the Lord. But the Levitical function, the work of the Levites, is unto the people of God. Or to put it another way, they minister unto the temple, the tabernacle. They are there to minister unto the tabernacle. They are there to take care of the tabernacle. They are there to minister unto the people, to help the people and to carry the tabernacle and to set up the tabernacle and doing all kinds of things. Now, these are Levitical services. With the children of Israel, some were God's children. Some were priests unto God. And some were Levites doing Levitical service. And some were numbered to these soldiers, army of the Lord. You'll find they were all departmentalized, cut into sections. But when you come to the New Testament, you'll find that all these represent the different aspects that we are all engaged in. In other words, we are all God's children. When you speak of the grace of God, when you speak of the life that God has given to us, we are all God's children. When you speak of enjoying the Lord and enjoying all that the Lord has provided for us, we are all children. thank God we are God's children. But at the same time, we are not only God's children, we are priests unto God. Not that among us, God's children, there will be some who are called to be priests. Not so in the New Testament. In the New Testament, you'll find everything goes back to God's original design. And that is, on the one hand, we are God's children so far as life is concerned, yet on the other hand, so far as our ministry unto God is concerned, we are all priests unto God. We all serve God. Minister unto God. We minister unto God in praises. We minister unto God in worship. We minister unto God in drawing near to Him. We minister unto God in seeking His will, to do His will. We minister unto God by waiting upon Him. And you'll find every child of God is a priest unto God. There is a spiritual service that we must render unto God. It is the privilege and the duty of every child of God, because everyone is a priest unto God. Yet at the same time, we are all soldiers. So far as unto God is concerned, we are priests. But so far as unto the enemy, unto the world, in relation to God's testimony is concerned, we are all soldiers. We are all called to fight the good fight. Not that because we are priests, therefore, we are not soldiers. Oh, we just serve God. We have nothing to do with fighting. You cannot do that. You have to be priests and soldiers at the same time, so far as we are concerned. And then you find there is another aspect that we are all involved. We are not only priests unto God, we are all Levites unto one another. Unto the tabernacle of the testimony. Every child of God is a Levite. And as a Levite, there is a service that we must perform. So, in the New Testament, you'll find all these things are gathered together into one. They just represent the different aspects of our life. So, dear brothers and sisters, do remember this. We are not only priests unto God. We are Levites. And we are given special services in relation to the tabernacle of the testimony. To be numbered as a child of God, the firstborn were all numbered. And the Levites from 1 month old were numbered. That shows we are all being numbered as children of God as soon as we are born again. Our name is written on the book of life of the Lamb. We are all numbered. There is no other requirement. The only condition is to be born. If you're born into the family of God, you belong. You are there. Your name is recorded in the book of life. There is no other condition. There is no other requirement. But to be numbered among the soldiers of the Lord, you need a little growth. They are numbered from 20 years old and upward. Now, by 20 years old, it means that you mature somewhat. You need to be matured somewhat before you really can take up the responsibility for the testimony of Jesus and trust it to the church. And there is no limit from 20 years old and upward. You do not retire when you are 60 from military service. That military service goes all through your life, from 20 years old and upward. But when it comes to Levitical service, you find that it is from 30 years old and only to 50 years old. In other words, the prime of your life. It requires the best of your years to be devoted to that Levitical service. And it is the same as priestly service. After 50, you retire from active service, but you still continue with the charge. With the charge. In other words, it requires more maturity. It requires more growth spiritually to perform your Levitical service than to fight as a soldier. Think of that. And what are the functions of the Levites when they travel through the wilderness? Their function, as we find in the book of Numbers, they are to take care of the tabernacle of the testimony. When they encamp, they will set up the tabernacle according to its order. And when they march, they will take down the tabernacle and they will carry all the things in the tabernacle and march forward. That's their function, their work. In other words, they are to minister unto the house. Minister unto the house. When the Spirit of God began to move, they will break down the tabernacle, pick up everything, and carry them onward, so that not even a pin will be lost. A great responsibility. And when they encamp, they will come, set up the tent. According to God's order, nothing in confusion. A tremendous responsibility. And that is Levitical service. As they go through the wilderness. Of course, we know after they arrive at the promised land, there is no more traveling, so they don't carry them any longer. And instead of a tent, later on it becomes a temple. So their service is mainly connected with all the different affairs in the temple, helping people with the cow, with the ox and all these things, and helping the priest in preparing things and so forth. But when they go through wilderness, that is their responsibility. So, the Levitical service is mainly related to the tabernacle of the testimony. It is a ministering unto the house. Now again, you cannot separate these two ministries. You cannot say, well, I only minister unto the Lord. I will not minister unto the house. And what is the house? The people of God. You cannot say, I just shut my door and spend all my time in praising the Lord, in worshiping the Lord, in waiting upon the Lord, and in adoring the Lord, and that's it. I will have nothing to do with God's people. I will not minister unto them. I will not share with them. I will not fellowship with them. I will not exhort them, encourage them, and receive exhortation and encouragement from them. You cannot do that. After you have waited upon the Lord, you have to come to the house and minister to God's people what the Lord has given to you. Nor can you do otherwise. You said, I will just be busily occupied with the house. I will serve God's people. I will run here and there, and I will do all kinds of works. I have no time to wait upon the Lord. I have no time to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. I'm serving God's people. You cannot do that either. Because you do not have the inspiration. You do not have the power to serve God's people. You do not know what God's will is with you concerning His people. It will be all on your own, by your own strength and energy, and it won't be acceptable. So here you'll find these two ministries are closely related. The Levitical service is the outflow of the priestly ministry. And the Levitical service is under the direction of the priestly ministry. But the priestly ministry must overflow into Levitical ministry. Otherwise, it will be stagnant. So, dear brothers and sisters, remember one thing. As the church goes through the world, we are not only priests unto God, but we are Levites, ministering unto the house. You know, with the priestly service, you find there is no division of labor. In the sense that it is permanent. No. All the priests that serve will come to the temple. And they will be allotted different functions for that particular moment. You know, at the time of Christ, we are told by Alfred Adersham, if you read his book, you will find that we are told at the time of Christ, there was the temple in Jerusalem, and there were thousands of priests. They still served according to their 24 courses. And even within one course, there will be thousands of priests there. And how did they allot their services? Each morning, early in the morning, before the daybreak, before the temple gate was opened, the priests were gathered together in a room. And there, they will cast lot. And if the lot falls on you to burn the incense, then you burn the incense. If the lot falls on you to offer the sacrifice on the brazen altar, then you offer sacrifice on the brazen altar. So every morning, before the day breaks, they will gather together and cast lot as to their various functions. There is no permanent assignment. Everything comes as the lot falls. You may be burning the incense today, and that is once in a lifetime. If you have done that once, then you are barred from that again. Forever. Why? Because it is the highest privilege. Some priests the lot never fall on him to burn the incense. Zechariah was very old before that lot fell on him. Forever. Why? Because it is the highest privilege. Some priests never, the lot never falls on him to burn the incense. Zechariah was very old before that lot fell on him. You know? And maybe tomorrow the lot falls that you should light the candlestick. You know, the function of the priest changes ever so often. You do everything. There is no permanent appointment. Everything at the moment. And of course, when you refer this to the New Testament time, we are all priests. And as priests, we all worship the Lord. We all praise the Lord. We all offer spiritual sacrifices. We all wait upon the Lord. And you'll find as the Spirit leads. Sometimes we do this, sometimes we do that. There is no division of labor that is permanent. Do not say that I am not appointed to be a singer, therefore I won't sing praises unto the Lord. It's not your voice. It is your spirit. You find it as the Lord leads. As the Lord leads. That is priestly function. There is no division of labor. But when you come to Levitical service, you find the services are divided. And once they were divided, it was permanent. That's the difference. You know, the Levites have three branches. The sons of Kohath, the sons of Gershon, and the sons of Merari. And these three branches were given three different Levitical services. The sons of Kohath was given the service of the inner things of the tabernacle. They were to carry the ark. They were to carry the lampstand. They were to carry the table of showbread. They were to carry the brazen altar. They were to take care of all these inside things in the tabernacle. That was their responsibility. And the sons of Gershon, they were to take care of all the linens, the curtains, the coverings, the cords. They were to take care of all the linens of the tabernacle. And the sons of Merari, they were to take care of all the structure of the tabernacle, the boards, the base, the pegs, the courts, and all these structural things, they were to take care of them. So you find their labors were all divided. And once they were divinely divided, they carried on their different labor forever. Through the wilderness journey. Now that is Levitical service. Brothers and sisters, I wonder whether we have a correct understanding of what the priestly function is and what the Levitical function is. I think oftentimes we mix these two things together. And in a sense, they are inseparable. That's true. And yet there is a distinction. The priestly function is mainly towards God. And there is no division of labor. The Levitical service is towards the house. And today, God's house are God's people. And the labors are divided. Are divided. May I suggest this? What we find in Romans 12. What we find in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. What we find in Ephesians 4. They are strictly not priestly functions the Levitical function. In other words, here you'll find the Spirit of God gives to each member a gift or gifts according to grace. And these gifts are given for the building up of the body. In other words, if God gives you a gift, you are to exercise that gift for the building up of the house, the body of Christ. This is not priestly function. This is Levitical service. We are called to exhort one another. We are called to encourage one another. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints, but learn to exhort and encourage one another in love, in good works, especially when we know the day is near. And you know, as God's people, we are all Levites. None can say he is not given, he or she is not given a gift or gifts. And according to the gifts in grace, God says, let us serve one another. Let us build up one another. We are different members of the body of Christ. And because of that, we are given different gifts. No one person has all the gifts. But none is without gift. God has put us in his body, and God has given gifts to us accordingly, that we may serve the body for its building up in love. And brothers and sisters, are we fulfilling our Levitical services in the house? The sons of Kohath, they are to take care of the inside of the tabernacle. And may I suggest, they are given gifts in relation to the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. Because all the inside of the tabernacle speaks of Christ in his various aspects. The mystery of Christ. And some are given gifts in relation to the mystery of Christ. Oh, they are shown of the mystery of Christ. They are able to share with us Christ, who he is, what he is, the mystery that is of Christ. They touch the very inside of the tabernacle. And some are like the sons of Goshen. They are to take care of the linens. And we know the curtains and all these things represent the grace that is of Christ. The Word became flesh, tabernacled among us, full of grace and truth. You know, if you study the curtain, if you study the covering, they all speak of our experiencing Christ, how we enter into an experience of Christ that is how we receive his grace. And you know, some brothers and sisters, they know a lot of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, experiencing him in all his beauty. The sons of Gershon. And they will share with us their experience of Christ. And that is grace. And some are like the sons of Merari. They are to take care of the structure of the tabernacle. That
full of grace and truth. Very solid. We need the truth. We need to know the truth. More objective, yes, but it is the framework. It is the structure. And they can share with us the truth that is in Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, you'll find when we minister to one another, when we fellowship with another, what is fellowship? Fellowship is not fellowshipping with ourselves. That is not fellowship. That is being social. Fellowshipping is fellowship in Christ. When we share Christ, whether it is His mystery, whether it is His grace, whether it is His truth, it is Christ. And when we share Christ, we build up the church. Not share with ourselves, telling stories. That destroys. That doesn't build. It is fellowshipping with Christ. Then we really build up the church. And remember, our responsibility is that nothing is lost. Everything that is related to the testimony of Jesus may be shared, may be picked up, may be carried on, and nothing is lost or left behind. Isn't that sad? When Christ committed Himself to the church, His mystery, His grace and truth in the beginning, and not very long, you find the church began to lose the truth, the grace, and even the mystery of Christ. When you come to dark age, you find everything seems to have lost. Just an empty name, Christianity. Where is the mystery of Christ? All kinds of heresies come in. Instead of knowing the mystery of Christ. Where is the grace of Christ? You'll find work comes in instead of grace. People try to save themselves by doing penance. Where is the truth of Christ? Not even the basic truth of justification by faith is known. Oh, how we have dropped the testimony, the tabernacle of the testimony along the way, and we lose almost all. And thank God for the recovery. Oh, that God's people may pick up all these things that have been left behind and carry them forward. That nothing concerning the testimony is lost, but everything may be set up according to order. A tremendous work, a tremendous responsibility. And these are the works of the Levites. Are they not spiritual? They seem to deal with all these material things, and yet it is very spiritual. Very spiritual. So, dear brothers and sisters, here you find, for the journey through the wilderness, the Levitical service is very, very essential. It is as important as the priestly service. And we are all called to be Levites. Another thing, a strange thing. When the tabernacle was set up, you know, the princes of the 12 tribes of Israel, they came forward to offer dedication gift and voluntary offering. Every head of each tribe of the children of Israel will come forward and they will bring their dedication gift in silver and gold. And in bullocks, and in goats, and in lambs, and as dedication gifts. And these gifts, of course, after they were given, they went to the priest to help in the priestly work. But at the same time, you'll find when these princes came, they also offer voluntary offerings. And they all the voluntary offering they offered altogether were 6 wagons and 12 oxen. Now you'll find that these were not prescribed by God. There was nothing mentioning of the oxen and the wagons in relation to the tabernacle. Nothing was ordered. They were not ordered by God. They were voluntary offerings. And yet when they were offered, after they were offered, God told Moses, take them and use them. Now isn't that strange? We often think that everything that is related to the tabernacle, God told Moses, you have to do everything according to the pattern that I have shown you. Moses, even though you are a great architect, you cannot change a bit, you cannot add a bit, you cannot take away anything, even a nail, a thread. You have to do everything according to the pattern of the mount. And Moses was faithful in God's house because he did everything according to the pattern. Oftentimes we think that in spiritual things, in things that are related to God, everything must come by God's ordering. You cannot initiate anything. Of course you cannot. How often we try to initiate things. And because we initiate the things, how we have gone off from the pattern, the heavenly pattern. That is true. When you come to the tabernacle itself, nothing you can do but do as you are ordered. Everything is prescribed. Nothing left for your initiative. When you come to the tabernacle, that is true. But in the work of God, it is not all cut and dry. You have to see the pattern on the mount, that is true. You cannot add or take away anything from it. But in the carrying of the tabernacle, God allows certain degree of liberty. And that liberty is according to the exercise of a loving heart. These princes, they love God. God had not ordered these things. God ordered the Levites to carry these things. And you know, these things could be very heavy. If you know how to travel through the wilderness, even without a pack on your shoulder, that is hard enough. But to carry all the things of the tabernacle with you and travel, my, that's hard. It is not too difficult for the sons of Kohath to carry the ark, even though the ark is heavy, because they are made of gold, wood and gold. But to carry these boards, 10 cubits high, to carry the base, and these base were a talent each, very heavy. Now how are they going to do that? How were the Levites to carry these bases? No one person can do that, even 2 persons cannot do that, and 3 and 4 and maybe more, how can they lay their hands on that and carry them all the way? You know, sometimes they walk 3 days' journey. God didn't make any provision for them. God just said, carry them. Isn't this strange? How were they going to fulfill their function? And the hearts of these princes were exercised before God. You know, our spirit can be very delicate. It should be. Their hearts were exercised before God. God commanded the Levites to carry these things. But how are they going to do? do that. They won't be able to do that. And God has not made arrangement for it. And as they exercise before God, they were prompted by their love towards God. They were prompted by their loving heart. They offer voluntary offerings. They offer 6 wagons and 12 oxen. They took the initiative. Isn't that strange? God did not allow Moses or anybody else to take any initiative, to be ingenious in anything concerning the tabernacle. But when it comes to carrying the tabernacle, God leaves, as it were, a door open for exercise of loving hearts. So they come forth. They came forth. They took the initiative. They voluntarily offered 6 wagons and 12 oxen. And when they offered, God said, took it. God put his approval on it. Isn't that the same thing as David did? God never prescribed how they should praise in the tabernacle. And David set apart 24 courses of singers to praise God. And God took it. God took it. Of course, God could never order us to praise. Praise had to come from our loving heart. It had to come from us, you know. But God accepted that. So, dear brothers and sisters, here you'll find there was some liberty here. Now, you know, in serving God, it is not all cut and dry. There is a liberty here. It is the liberty of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. God permitted these men to give 6 wagons and 12 oxen for the Levitical service. The priests did not need these things. The Levites did. And you know how they were distributed? Two wagons, 4 oxen were given to the sons of Gershon. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen were given to the sons of Merari. Why? Because the sons of Merari carry all the heavy stuff. They carry all these boards and bays and all these heavy stuff. So they need more wagons to help. An oxen to pull. But the sons of Kohath were not given any wagon nor ox. Why? Because all the insides of the tabernacle must be carried upon the shoulders. In other words, in serving God, you cannot change the tabernacle. There is no initiative allowed. So far as God's testimony is concerned, there is no initiative allowed. You cannot be so ingenious as to invent something concerning the mystery of Christ. That would be heresy. You cannot take any initiative in your experience of Christ. That is counterfeit. You cannot take any initiative in the understanding of truth. That will be heresy again. Everything is ordered. We have to receive all these by revelation and follow closely. No initiative, no liberty allowed. But when it comes to how to bring forth, how to carry on the grace and the truth of Christ, well, you can use a little method. A little method. You know?
God allows a little method, but there is a limit. The method can only be in the carrying on of the grace and truth, but not the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ allows no human ingenuity, no human method. You know how often when you read church history, people try to use some weapons for the mystery of Christ, and it ends up in heresy. You cannot touch it. It has to be carried on your shoulder. That is your spiritual exercise. But in preaching the gospel, you can use a little method if you want to. Sometimes you can invite your friend to your home for a meal. Because if you don't invite him for a meal, he won't come. And after he has come for the meal, he is obliged to listen to you. That's a little method. You know, you can use a little method, so long as it comes out from the exercise of the loving heart. So long as you do not depend on the method more than upon God. That is the limit. But you can use a little method. You remember, once David tried to use a little method for the ark. You remember that? He used a cart pulled by oxen and put the ark on it. And then God's hand came down heavy. Nothing for the inside of the tabernacle. It's only for the outside you can use a little method. So thank God. You know, serving God is such a privilege. In the hand, you are bound. That is true. Thank God for the bondage. But on the other hand, you are free. You are free. There are certain aspects, there are certain, in certain areas, the Lord does give you the liberty. But it is the liberty of the loving heart. The liberty of the spiritual exercise. The liberty of the Spirit. And you can use a little thing if they will help to carry on the testimony of Jesus. But always remember, there is a limit to it. And this is the Levitical service. So dear brothers and sisters, you'll find in these few chapters, you have further preparation for the journey. So that they might be able to undertake that journey and to carry the testimony of God through to the promised land. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy word. We need Thy Spirit to illumine Thy word to our spirits, that we may see inwardly, that we may be led by Thy Spirit into all truth. Lord, Thou dost not give us these just for our mental interest. We believe that Thou dost give us Thy word that we may be exercised before Thee, and we may be led into all truth. So we pray that Thy truth may really be wrought into all of us, that as a corporate vessel for Thy testimony, we might be faithful, we might know our place, and we might serve Thee and serve one another as priests and Levites. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee. To serve Thee is not a servitude, a legalistic thing, but to serve Thee is a pleasure, is an honor, is a liberty. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee. Do keep by Thy Spirit these words deposited in our hearts with faith and love. And unto thee be all the praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.